time for our first hymn. Number 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In.
Oh.
Okay, then Barb, you get the joy of introducing our presenter today.
I do indeed. It's my great pleasure to introduce June Riley to you, who's been here once before. And obviously this is always a musical extravaganza when we have Jim with us. He and I spent time together as kids, junior high level kids, I guess, in the Universalist Church in Syracuse, New York, where we both grew up, and have maintained this old friendship over these long and many years. He has worked in numerous churches as a music director, choir director, that sort of thing, including the Universalist Church in Minneapolis, and most recently the Norwegian Lutheran Church, whose name I can't quite pronounce, in Minneapolis, and had retired from that job, 2 years ago now? 3 years ago. And had to learn Norwegian, of course, when he went to that church, because one of the services was in Norwegian. Fortunately, he's very facile in languages and speaks fluent French, and I suppose now fluent Norwegian, and did a wonderful program at First Society on for their noon musicale on Friday, some of which was in Icelandic, which was the first time I'd ever heard Icelandic sung. He said to me one time that one of the privileges of his life is that he's been able to earn a living as a musician, which is just a rare privilege that he has. He's obviously an outstanding pianist. He's a vocalist, tenor, and performs extensively in Minneapolis and other places. And we're just absolutely delighted to have him with us today to talk about mothers, and, well, more specifically, women composers. So all of the music today has been composed by women. I wanted to just point out a couple of things that the proclamation by Julia Ward Howe, she was a universalist. And then the choir piece was written by Elizabeth Alexander, who used to be a member here. For those of you who are old timers, you'll remember Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me here today. And thank you, Barb, especially for the introduction. It's always good to come to Madison to see Barb or to see her when she comes to Minneapolis. A funny thing happened on the way to the service today. I had originally picked an entirely different topic that I had done at another UU church in Wilmer, Minnesota a few months ago that was about friends and enemies. And then when Susan asked me to include the Julia Ward Howe proclamation, actually if I had known it, I could have kept the same service, but I thought it was something else. And so we switched gears and we decided to do this Women Composers program. In the 80s, when I was at First Universalist Church in Minneapolis, we had something we called the Women Composers Project, where we had a rule, actually, for several years, a rule that I made, so I didn't mind following it, that we had to have a piece by a woman, at least one piece written by a woman, every Sunday as a part of the music. Sort of an affirmative action music program, if you will. And that was partly because I had known of women composers, and I had played a little bit of Amy Marcy Cheney Beach. But I realized that my own repertoire as a musician was probably 99.5% men. And I knew that Fanny Mendelssohn had existed, and I knew that Clara Schumann had existed, but I had never seen or heard any of the music. You would think that nowadays, of course, that such a thing is no longer necessary 20 years later. And in some senses, it is less necessary if you go to concerts and if you see music that's being written now, you'll see a higher percentage of pieces written by women, still nowhere in the numbers in classical music of what you'll hear written by men. And recently I was reminded of that fact when I discovered five songs by a woman named Hilde Neupert. And the question is, wem war Hilde Neupert, which is Norwegian for who was Hilde Neupert? And because she was Norwegian, you can find out more about who she was related to than you can find out about her. A typical fate. Her father was the first commissioner of Rhodes, to translate the title into English in Norway. And her husband was Edmund Neupert, who was a very well-known pianist, was the pianist in the very first performance of the Grieg Piano Concerto. They came to New York, where he was teaching in New York when he died, a relatively early death, leaving Hilda with one son to raise. After that, I know nothing about her, except that there are 45 songs that she wrote and which were published in the Royal Library in Norway. And I happen to be the owner of 5 of them, an edition that I bought from a used music store in Copenhagen, that online, because I scour their site online every month to see what's there, and I buy things that I don't know what they are and hope that there's something good. In this case, these 5 songs turned out to be quite wonderful, and I fed them, so to speak, to one of the singers I work with, who sings in a group called Women Performers, which is a group of women that just performs music by women composers. So that sort of brought my attention back to this whole question and led to the program today. That's why we switched gears. I don't want to say a lot about every one of these women. Some of them were mothers and some of them weren't. Some of them had significant obstacles to their lives as composers, such as Fanny Mendelssohn, who, while she was trained as a musician and was equal in talent to her brother, Felix, was discouraged from becoming a professional musician because that was not something that women were supposed to do. For example, this was written about her by her father. Perhaps for Felix, music will become a profession, while for you, Fanny, it will always remain but an ornament. Only the feminine ornaments women. And Felix wrote, Fanny neither wishes to be an author, nor has she a vocation for it. For that she is too much of what a woman should be. She wrote hundreds of pieces, of course, and until recent times, most of them remained unpublished. The guardian of the archives in Berlin really thought that all of the ones who were worth publishing had already been published a long time ago. It turned out not to be true, and when he left the post, we've seen an increasing number of her pieces see the light of print. So you could tell a story or another about almost anyone on this program, but I would rather have the music speak for itself. And I also want to say one word of thank you to all the people today who are reading and contributing musically in other ways, because it makes for a much, much richer presentation. My own range as a musician, while I try to make it as large as possible, is limited because I'm limited as a human being. And if we all work on this project together, we get all kinds of stuff. I'm going to sing one of those songs by Hilde Neupert, and it has a text by Ivar Aasen, who is the Norwegian man in the 19th century who more or less invented the dialect of Nynorsk. He went around and made a compendium of folk dialects to save the Norwegian language from Danish influence. And this compendium of dialects then became known as New Norwegian, and it's still one of the two legal Norwegian dialects in the country of Norway. You didn't know maybe that there are two Norwegian languages, they're not one. And then there are many other dialects that survive as dialects, of course. It's a very difficult poem to translate because Nynorsk began to change immediately after he invented it, and I had to get a lot of help. It's a very, very sad poem. I know so well there is a treasure which I well should have had, and it would harm no one if I had that treasure. And if I found it, everything would be all right. I would be rich and happy, but I will never know the place where it can be found. I know so well there is a place, perhaps close at hand. There I certainly could be glad and forget all my sorrow. And if I went there, then I would obtain the thing which I miss the most. But that is the very problem. I will never find the place. I know so well there is a breast with the same feelings inside it, with the same wish and the same sorrow and the same hope and the same memory. And if I came there, everything would be all right and life would pass more easily. But that is the worst to think about, that we never found each other.
Jeg vet så vel det finnes en skatt som jeg bare må. Den vilde skatt, om jeg den skatte nådde, og fann jeg den, var allting vel. Jeg skulle være rik og selv, men aldri vet jeg grunnen, der han skal være det. Jeg vet så vel det finnes en skatt, kan hende der ved sida, der hvis jeg skulle være glad, og glemme all min kvide, og kom jeg der, sånn fikk jeg nå, den ting som mest jeg sakne må. Det alle skaden jeg finner aldri staden. Jeg vet så vel det finnes en barn med samme kjensla inne, med samme hygg og samme vann.
Before I sing my song, I'd like to take a moment to tell Jim that it's purely coincidental, but there was a bake sale in Stoughton, that very Norwegian town just down the road, and there were some leftover Norwegian goodies, and I just happened to bring them today. So I didn't realize we would have that connection. Be sure to save one for him, because there aren't a whole lot of them. My father wrote this song, Mother Dear, for my grandmother, and I think it's a song for all mothers. I'm planning to sing it to my 96-year-old mother when I go to celebrate Mother's Day with her tomorrow. So I hope you enjoy it. You are a symbol of everything that's sweet, Mother Dear. Mother Dear. Millions of nice things make you so complete, Mother Dear. Mother Dear. Thank you, oh thank you, for all the things you do. So understanding, so lovely and true. We'll sure be lucky if we can be like you, Mother Dear. Mother Dear. My allergies are catching up with me here. We love to see you looking bright and gay, Mother Dear. Mother Dear. We'll keep you happy so you can stay that way, Mother Dear. Mother Dear. Always and ever, you'll be our guiding star, bringing us happiness, sharing our care. Bless you, oh bless you, for all the things you are. Bless you, oh bless you, for all the things you are, Mother Dear, Mother Dear.
Of the women represented on today's program as composers, marriage and motherhood meant the end of some of them for composing, and for others, it did not. We've already heard a piece by Clara Schumann, and some of you may know that Clara Schumann was one of the great pianists of her age. She was a child prodigy. Her father was her teacher, and her father also taught her composition, and she was already accomplished as a composer when she met Robert Schumann, who was, of course, the greater figure in music history. And even with Robert, she shared composing games, more or less, or they would write pieces for each other's birthday. But she had seven children, and Robert died early, and she had to make a career for the rest of her life as a pianist to support those seven children, and she eventually gave up composing. This is what she wrote. I once thought that I possessed creative talent. But I have given up this idea. A woman must not desire to compose. No one has been able to do it. Of course, she did not know that was not true. No one has been able to do it. And why should I expect to? It would be arrogance, though indeed my father led me into it in earlier days. A very sad ending to someone who could write music as beautiful as the piece that you are, have already heard. But the next composer is a somewhat different story. Amy Marcy Cheney Beach was an American from New England. Most of her training was self-training. She was very largely self-taught. And her relatively early marriage to a much older man actually liberated her to become a composer and a pianist on a professional level. She was known in her lifetime, and she preferred to be known in her lifetime, as Mrs. H.H. A. Beach, though she long outlived her husband. Nowadays, her name is usually written as Amy Marcy Cheney Beach. These things change with politics and with fashion. And for a while, many Europeans regarded her as the most accomplished of American composers. She remained, however, incredibly conservative in her composing style, although she lived for a long time. So she has fallen by the wayside to some extent in music history. This piece, which you are about to hear, is from early in her life, 1905.
Thank you so much, and please join me in thanking Jim Ryan. And we get one more shot.
Two more.
Oh, okay, there's one later. Oh, yes, okay. So this one is Wasted Life Blues by Bessie Smith.
Each day I'm full of sorrow and pain.
This way we get the postlude. So instead of closing words, we get to hear Jim Riley sing to us once more, Billie Holiday, Somebody's on My Mind.